Hey there, it's Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli, and I want to chat with you about a key ingredient for a fabulous date night, feeling sexy. And come on, let's be real. What you wear plays a big part in how you rock that confidence. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce you to Quince. Quince brings you premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at just $30, along with washable silk tops, 40-karat gold jewelry, and more. And guess what? All of their goodies are priced 50 to 80% lower than similar brands. By teaming up directly with top factories, Quince skipped the middleman and hands us the saving. Plus, they stick to factories with safe, ethical practices and top-notch fabrics and finishes. How awesome is that? Picking from Quince's website was tough, because they have a ton of fabulous choices. I ended up going for their 100% washable silk sleep dress in champagne. And let me tell you, my husband was floored. He's convinced whoever rocks this is in for a blast. I'm going to record some content on that dress so you can see how fabulous is that dress. Elevate your date night style with Quince. Pop over to quince.com/sexology for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexology to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sexology.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Mo'oli.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 385 of the Sexology podcast. Today we got a fantastic lineup of topics all about men's sexual wellness. Joining us is the incredible Nadej, a sex scholar, best-selling author, and the genius behind Pleasure Science. Get ready for some real talk and practical insights. All right, let's kick things off by diving into some quick and effective tips for men to amp up their arousal game. We'll be talking about everything from the mental to the emotional factors that can really get things going. Buckle up as we take a deep dive into how cultural norms and societal pressures shape the way men experience arousal and deal with erectile dysfunction. It's a fascinating discussion you won't want to miss. Last but not least, we'll be talking about aging gracefully in the bedroom. Yep, we're tackling the tough stuff and sharing some pro tips on how to keep your sexual health in check as the years go by. But before we jump into that, a quick shout out to our sponsor, FirmTech. As a psychologist and sex therapist, I'm always exploring cool ways to boost sexual wellness. Let me share something mind-blowing. FirmTech's Tech Ring. Worried about bedroom performance? Curious about what works best for you with meds, supplements, exercises, and diets? The Tech Ring isn't your average cock ring. It's the world's first smart one that goes on and off easily with their patented hook and loop closure. Picture this. Track it to hack it, then adjust your dosage. With a Tech Ring, guys can access their erectile fitness score to keep sexual wellness in check and address erectile issues. It's not just for sex. Wear it overnight to monitor nighttime erections for insight into heart and sexual health. The Tech Ring monitors firmness, length of time, and more in the heat of the moment, revealing how factors like relationships, meds, subs, and alcohol impact your performance. Tested it with my partner, and it's a game changer. Easy to use, more pleasure, and intense orgasms. For top performance, the FirmTech Max PR, their non-tech ring, enhances pleasure and endurance. Let's be honest, rings trump pills for most guys, according to FirmTech. Safe, comfortable, and easy to use, smooth texture that glides on effortlessly and closes easily with their loop and hook. If you ask me about a cock ring, chances are I've recommended FirmTech. Try for insight into sexual health and performance and pleasure, and you'll love it. They offered a discount code for our sexology listeners. So head over to the link below, type sexology, and it's going to give you 10% off of their product. All right, without further ado, here's my conversation with Nadesh. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome Nadesh to our show today. And Nadesh, welcome to our show.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I am excited for this conversation. I know we've met a few times and I always get this wonderful vibe from you that you're so knowledgeable. I know I've been following you in social media and you're busy. You're kind of like putting so much great content out there. So we'll make sure that we're talking about how can I get a hold of you people out there, because there's just lots of goodness that you're putting and sharing with the audience in the world. So today we're talking about arousal for men. That's a question. Whenever I'm putting questions out there, I get tons of responses from my listeners wanted to know about arousal. What can they do to experience a quicker arousal? So tell us more about that. What can cisgender men do to be able to experience a quicker arousal?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one of the easiest things to start doing that we might not even think of is to stop shaming your sexual fantasies. You know, I hear so many men, cisgendered men, or even men who are trans saying, I feel like a pervert, or I feel weird if I indulge too much in my fantasies, or I don't want to be a bad man. I don't want to be a creep. And the creep that, speaking of the internet, so many memes on the internet want to say, you know, and all of these jokes. And I think that's such a one. I think that's a beautiful fear in a sense, because it shows that men are paying attention to how other people feel, and that this idea that men don't think about those things isn't true. You know, that most men I know want to respect their lover and also want to be hot and dirty with their lover. And so this is where the stop shaming your sexual fantasies, I think, can be so powerful when we think of how men can achieve quicker arousal. Because I think sometimes men are almost afraid to be aroused because they might be perverted, or someone might think they're perverted, think they're a creep. And so something I always love, there's a lot of research around how cathartic and healthy it is for you to fantasize without shame, and just recognizing that your brain is yours. You own that space and it's a safe space. So if you want to be a pervert, that's your place to do it. And if we want to have quicker arousal, I think a lot of times that comes from when we're alone in our personal life, whether you're partnered or not, giving yourself the space to fantasize and giving yourself the space to say, okay, I'm going to have some crazy kinky fantasies in my brain. It doesn't mean I want to hurt anyone in real life. It doesn't mean I want to disrespect my spouse. It doesn't mean any of these things. But in my brain, I can fantasize about a hot secretary giving the boss a blowjob, you know, and that can be perfectly okay and fine in my brain. My brain is mine. And so I think that's a really powerful first step, because if you can realize that you're allowed to just have your own thoughts be yours, then I think when we're with another person, we can step into a place of quicker arousal and more fluid arousal, because we've already given ourselves permission to be a sexual person.
Nadesh, I love that you brought up the concept of fantasies, because so many people feel bad about their fantasies. They feel like it's not politically correct to have certain types of fantasies, and also they feel guilty. Like even they're with partner, of course we want to be connected with the partner, but at times I feel people incorporate an element of fantasy to build arousal or be able to experience an orgasm. But that's something that people feel so negative about it, or they feel they don't have the right type of fantasy. That's one of the things that can get in the way of people experience quicker arousal. So what I'm hearing is that the invitation is, it's okay, whatever you're into in your mind, you own the kind of like the type of fantasy that you want to have, like acting on it, of course, whatever you're doing, you want to make sure it's consensual, but in your brain, make sure to use it to spice up the experiences. So tell us about the emotional and mental aspects of building arousal. What are some of the things that you invite men to cultivate when they are trying to build up arousal?
Do you mean like with their fantasies or with a partner?
When they are with the partner trying to build arousal.
I think another thing that's so simple and underrated is setting up your space, you know, having some nice candles, having some nice like silk or velvet, like don't underestimate the power of heightening all of the senses. And I especially think doing, even if it's you just get a candle and like one rose, what a sweet gesture that is. We notice a lot, especially when we see heterosexual relationships and men romancing women, that something women want is to feel appreciated. And that's a big libido booster. And that's a big leg opener, you know, for just to go straight down to it. Like feeling appreciated is arousing for the partner. And so for you, if you're looking for ways to bring that intimacy into sex, it's the little gestures that are specific to sex, buying an arousal candle. And there are so many actually now. There are some arousal candles where you light it and it turns into massage oil and you can pour it directly on your partner. And it's something so simple. You know, you could just Google this and find a cute little candle. But I also think getting really nice sheets is such a sexy and overlooked thing. In fact, a big hack is bamboo sheets. You can buy them on Amazon. They're between $30 to $40 and they feel like silk. And so you can do these small little things. It'll show your lover that you appreciate them and that you're thinking of them, which will boost their arousal. And then you're heightening the senses. You're naked on this bamboo silky sheet. You know, who wouldn't love that?
You brought up another wonderful point. So we had sponsors that they were offering bamboo sheets. So we have a few of them in the closets. And what I've noticed is that when we are using our regular sheets, like, and we're in California, it's people have this idea, it's overall the water is mild, but like what I've been noticing in last, I don't know, 6 months, that sometimes my partner and I, we get so hot during sex that just like that's the arousal killer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. And one of the jokes that I make is like one of the earlier time we had sex in a camping trip. It was 80 something and it didn't faze my partner at all. Now we are in our luxurious bed and when the sheets are warmer, it gets in the way. So I think it's important to kind of, as you said, make sure that right now, what do you need to be comfortable? Talk about it. And also, it brings up another point that I often hear from my clients, which is asking for what you need, right? Yeah. So initially, when people, like especially men, cisgender men, see their partner naked, that's all they need. Like, or the idea of I'm going to have sex. Oh, they're ready. The erection is out there.
Yeah.
But like when you are older or you've been with a partner, sometimes you need manual stimulation or some other activities to build erection. Then men have this shame about the kind of, okay, I'm not getting hard right away, then I'm not man enough. So I think kind of like working on that kind of aspect of thing and communicating what you need with your partner is really important.
Absolutely. And I think when we're thinking of, you know, the insecurity of I'm not getting hard quick enough, I think it's time that we really stop centering sex around erection because that makes everybody have anxiety. You know, it's not just him. It's not just her. It's not just them, you know. And so what if pleasure isn't centered just around the erection as well? I think that can be really helpful because it can give the partner with the penis the time to have the erection if it's slower. It can give the other lover who's receiving time to warm up and get wet. Having such a focus on erection, it also kind of limits our pleasure, doesn't it? Because it makes us think it's like going into a buffet and saying, well, I'm only going to have chicken because that's what I learned. I learned that meals are supposed to have chicken and that's it. And you're like, but there's steak, there's ahi tuna. Like there's all these things. And it's kind of the same with centering sex around erection where it puts so much pressure on people. And then it makes us think that's the only way to achieve the best pleasure. And it isn't, not for everyone, you know, like there's so much we can do. But I know we're going to talk more about that today. But yeah, I agree with you.
I love this point of kind of not making a hard penis the central theme of like sexual experiences. Because what happens is that people say my partner gets disappointed when I lose an erection. But when I talk to couples in couples therapy, it's not about losing an erection. It's about the erection is gone. Now I'm withdrawing. Sex is over. Right. So it's just a matter of kind of, as you said, focusing on what is the meaning of sex and what other things are out there that could be equally delicious.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, tell us a little bit more about how cultural and societal perspective on masculinity impact people's sexual experiences in the bedroom.
I think in so many ways. I think when we look at what it means to be a man, we see a lot of pressure. You know, here's someone who is supposed to be always pursuing, someone who's supposed to always be turned on, someone's supposed to be making all the steps, anticipating other people's needs, especially when it comes to seduction, right? Like he chases, she receives, if we're thinking of all of these stereotypes. And so I think that sets us up to never ask ourselves the question of what am I good at and what do I want? And when I say what am I good at, I'm thinking, what am I good at in the bedroom? What am I good at with flirting, right? Like we're thinking in the social and sexual context of that, not like I'm good at building an IKEA shelf, which is also great. And we love that for you.
Not me.
Yeah, not me either. But I think the societal expectations don't allow us to really identify what we're good at. And sometimes someone might be good at flirting and pursuing. But I think a lot of the times people have so many different strengths. And if you take a step back and ask yourself, forget what society and culture says about what a man and arousal should be. What am I good at and what do I enjoy during sex? Oh, I enjoy worshiping assholes and licking assholes. Well, maybe I focus on that and find someone who really genuinely enjoys it. And then, oh my gosh, we're not even prioritizing penetration and the erection as the center. We're prioritizing what you really like, you know, or someone could really enjoy like coming on a pair of tits. Like, well, then let's make that the focus, right? Like playing with your lover's nipples and doing all of these things. Like, what do you actually look forward to? And what are you good at? And then, like you said earlier, talking to your partner about that, talking to your lover. So, you know, forgetting the cultural script literally means just asking yourself what you want and then taking the risk and realizing I need to, now that I'm kind of figuring out what I want and like, I need to ask for this. I need to share this. And that's, I think, how we can really shift so many of these cultural and societal expectations and pressures and center pleasure in sex.
I think pleasure is a key term here, because what happens is often people think that, okay, in order for me to be able to be quote unquote good in bed, this 1, 2, 3 skills that I need to learn. And so maybe I'm watching some tutorial, I know how to do a blowjob or whatever it takes, and you're not into it. As you said, it's not something that you're excited about it. Like what really makes sex delicious for so many people is to see that their partner is excited about whatever they're doing. They're into it. They're enjoying themselves. And if there's no physiological issues, when you are in a flow state, then arousal will show up.
Yeah, 100%.
The other thing that you talked about is cultural script of men as initiator and kind of how it can play out in longer term relationship. Because people assume that men get erection on demand, like when the partner is willing and then the erection's going to come. But what happens is sometimes when people on different stages of life or because of the stress level, what's happening, they don't experience spontaneous arousal, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe they have desire, they want to connect, but they don't know if erection shows up or not. And if we have this narrow script of men are initiating and then he's delivering an erection, then majority of times the partner might not be sure about that. And that's why they're not initiating sex. Mm. And you're kind of like bought into this idea of if my partner's initiating sex, we're not having sex. So I love that we are challenging these views on whether it's working for you or not. So what should partners do to kind of like shift this perspective? Partly it's easier for us to say, okay, I'm going to focus on pleasure. But if we are with a partner and they have this narrow vision of what successful sexual script is, that can be complicated. So what can we do to support our partner with this shift?
I think it's about how we want to talk about the topic. I always love when, especially for long-term partners, if you want to bring to light the fact that like your partner maybe does have a narrow view, opening up the conversation with the outcome you hope the conversation to have, which for me should always be something like trust, connection, intimacy, not like I want to have an orgasm, even though we love that for you and we want that for you. But I think like with long-term partners saying, hey, I want to talk about sex with you and I want to talk about some things that, you know, might be difficult to talk about, but my goal is that we establish more trust. My goal is that we are able to expand our idea of what it means to have pleasure. And then once you've stated what your goal outcome is for this conversation, that again, doesn't have anything to do with sex, then we broach into the topic that might be difficult of, hey, we always kind of have sex the same way. And when I try to tell you that I want to do things a little bit differently, you're kind of closed off. Now, again, with our goal of having more trust and more pleasure, can I ask you, why? And this is the other key, asking questions, right? Being curious as opposed to feeling entitled to getting what you want. And so asking the question after that of, can I ask why you're kind of closed off to, you know, me fingering you in this way or us doing butt play or whatever it is, or me massaging your feet? You know, sometimes it's a simple thing. Like, I just want to massage your feet. And your lover's like, no, feet smell. And that's weird. And I don't want to be weird, you know? But then again, you ask, okay, well, why do you think that's weird? Because I would love to do it. And I want to connect with you, right? And so always going back to this emotional goal of trust, connection, pleasure, and using that to kind of break through the tension of having, or even the fear of having these conversations. Because ultimately, you have to take the risk. You have to have the conversation. Communication is lubrication. It just won't happen without it. And keeping in mind, too, that if you are having the conversation and it's not going as you've hoped, this is just the first time. Communication is a skill. You'll get better, and you only get better with practice.
I love that you're saying practice is the key, and kind of also going back to what you mentioned earlier with owning what you like, right?
Yeah.
If you're trying to kind of like go walk around it and you're not comfortable talking about it, or maybe you're bringing it up in a context that doesn't show that you're interested in it. So maybe mm-hmm. you're saying that, oh, honey, what do you think about this in this movie? And the partner feels like you're making a joke or it's not something you're mm-hmm. interested in. And then you might feel undermined and it would be more challenging to talk about it with a partner. The other thing is to kind of keep in mind that there is an element of playfulness when it comes yeah. to sexual experiences. And there's an element of, at least for me, is a kind of fantasy. And there is this kind of another dimension in a way that you're stepping into. For me, great sex is raw and it's, in a way, it could be animalistic. So I think kind of giving yourself permission to go after for what you want. Of course, you really want to talk about it with the partner. Having consent, I think it's really important. But trust is also very, very important, because if I'm feeling yeah. that, like I'm letting myself go and being playful and I feel like I'm not trusting the partner, maybe I feel judged, maybe it's all on in my mind, but I'm feeling judged. How can we navigate that? How can we see if our partner is compatible based on what's happening in the bedroom?
I mean, when it comes to figuring out compatibility, I think this is a time where we have to be discerning and we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, sex is a skill. You can certainly learn how to develop sexual skills with another partner, but sometimes people aren't a good fit. And I think some major things to look at is kissing, and communication. Those are two kind of entryways to start seeing, like, you know, I've communicated with my partner. Maybe it's been over a year. You've been having this conversation and nothing seems to be changing. This is a good like time period to kind of say, are we not compatible in how we communicate? And if we aren't compatible in how we communicate, let me make a big choice here and consider other areas of compatibility, because communication is the gateway to sex, right? And so that's one major place to I think really look at and not be afraid of a breakup. I don't think breakups are an ugly thing. And I think so often in our culture, we're always looking for a way to make every relationship last forever. And I believe in love. And I think we can all have amazing loves. But I think we also should be more discerning with our relationships and compatibility. And kissing is another thing I mentioned. You know, I think kissing can tell you a lot about your compatibility with a lover. And if kissing is very uncoordinated a lot of the time and it doesn't feel good, then if you continue going to other erotic acts, that pattern might follow. And if you know that about your relationship or your lovership, maybe it's new or maybe you've been with someone for a long time, I think it's okay to consider, do I want to leave? Is that an option on the table? And then if you don't want to leave, then figuring out, you know, going to see an expert, I think is a next really big step. Because if things are uncoordinated and not necessarily working and you've been working on it, going and seeking help is a really great option. Like if you are so close, like I always like to think about it, if your nose is right next to the window, you can't see what's going on, right? You're too close. And sometimes we're like that with our relationships. And so seeking an expert, like I think sometimes there's not a hack. It's about doing the real work. And the real work can either be seeing a therapist like yourself or a coach like me or taking a course or something like this. Or again, you know, it's not the pretty answer, but considering if you want to be single and if you want to or open up your relationship or other things, like you can leave. I should say opening up your relationship is not the same as leaving. And I actually want to say that opening up your relationship is not a cure for incompatibility with your lover at all. But I think more so what I was trying to say is yeah, consider breaking up. That's okay. You know, you can leave and it's okay to do that too.
One thing that I often hear that people try to undermine how important is sex for the happiness of a relationship, right? I think the way that our culture portray relationship is that kind of like sexual pleasure is an optional thing. It's good if you have good sexual experiences, but these other things are so much more important. And it might be for some people, but I think one thing that's important to keep in mind, be honest with yourself. Like for me, good sexual experiences is about vitality, feeling alive, connected with the partner. And if that part is not working long term, and for everyone at times, they're going to be season of life. That's
100%.
Something happens. But if overall we're not in the same page with sexual pleasure, then I feel like I've been on other relationship like that is even if everything is okay, I feel dead inside. And what value that has, right? So I think it's important to be leveling with ourselves how important it is and not being scared of exploring options, right? Because any of the things that you mentioned can open a galaxy of different doors for us if we give it a chance, right? Sometimes people think they go to couples therapy and that is the end of the relationship. That is the last.
No, it's the beginning. It's the beginning. I can't tell you how many couples I've seen in my own practice or with colleagues like you where it's like they will start seeking help and it is the start of a whole new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're going to learn. Here's the thing about seeing an expert. You're going to learn all of the skills. Like we're not taught anything about sex. Only 18 states require sex education to be medically accurate in the United States right now. And so you're probably an adult listening to this podcast. Imagine how bad it was when we were kids. So when you go to a sex expert, it doesn't mean that something is wrong. It means you're finally getting the knowledge about psychology, socialization, flirting, and fucking that you should have had a long time ago, right?
Absolutely. And there's someone there that can facilitate these conversations. And I think that can be very valuable. If you are kind of struggling for years and years, not asking for help, especially I see that around sex therapy, is that maybe first year the issue was sexual issues, but now 10 years later, there's like multifaceted. So maybe that is the last chance for you to revive this relationship. But I love that the newer generation, as you mentioned, they're thinking about it as a consultation. I'm going to go get some information, some tools, and then we'll be golden. So I think that's really important. Sometimes, as you mentioned, people need coaching, right? Someone that teaches you with this skill that you didn't receive. So all of these things are valuable tools, but at the end of the day, you might not be compatible. Then it's important to think about knowing what I know about myself, about my relationship. What makes sense? Does it make sense for me to leave the relationship? Does it make sense that we make other arrangements? And I think that's okay to prioritize pleasure.
100%. Honestly, and from my own personal life, I remember meeting someone, falling in love. They were my best friend. It was an incredible relationship intellectually and emotionally, but physically, it was like the bubbling wine had lost all the bubbles. You know, it was not good. And breaking up with that partner was so hard because it felt like I was throwing away a good thing. But actually breaking up with them was the best thing I ever did for myself and for them. And so that's why, you know, considering ending a lovership is also okay. And then also, like we said, considering opening up a relationship. Like there was a couple that I saw, they had been together for 12 years. They're still together, very in love. And they decided to open up their relationship. And their agreement was, we do everything together. Nothing ever happens without anyone's permission. No one's messaging any, like we do, if we're messaging a lover, we're in a group text, like everything is together from the sex to the communication. And that completely revolutionized their relationship. They started having threesomes every now and then, like maybe a couple a year. Cause listen, y'all, it takes a little bit of time to get a threesome going. You know, you don't just bake them in the oven, but they had a couple of threesomes the first year that they were doing it. This open relationship style, and it completely revolutionized their relationship. They learned how to communicate so much better. They created new patterns. They discovered all different types of new sex things to do because now here's new people coming into their relationship and they're like, wait, I never thought to do that position or I never thought to use that toy. And so don't underestimate the just expansive amount of options that we have, which I think goes back to, again, that very simple thing we were saying earlier, of not centering sex around the erection. Look at all, like when you don't do that, so many things, you're back in the buffet of pleasure, the buffet of relationships, the buffet of options. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful buffet.
There's so many dishes out there that you haven't tried. And this is your invitation to go out there. And I'm also a sex therapist for years, but I'm also excited about all the dishes out there.
I think that's one of the beautiful things about our work is we are always, we're not just in one buffet. We're in the buffet all over the place because there's, you know, and we get to see these things, and which I think should also give people hope because we get to see so many examples of this. And so when you're listening, you might feel discouraged or lost or you don't know where to go. And it's okay to be at that part of your journey too, because, you know, Dr. Nazanin and myself are both examples and proof of so much of what's out there that you can experience.
And to that point is I'm someone that values adventure. I'm a sex therapist. My husband said every turn that you make at this home, a sex toy comes at you. I'm sure it's the same for you. We get so many products, right?
That's
part of our life. And if you are listening to this show and you have good enough sexual experiences, that's perfect, right? Like it's not an Olympic that you need to be able to explore everything out there. So that's something I also want to kind of remind people of. For people that have still some anxiety around their erection and kind of arousal, are there any preventative measures that they can take to avoid the issues as they age?
You know, I think, again, a mental reframe here is so powerful because even if you're struggling to get an erection, your penis still has all the same nerve endings, whether you're erect or not. And I think that's something we can forget about. We think that the erection is proof that okay, the on button is on, right? But your penis has all the same nerve endings, whether you're erect or not. So let's just say you're enjoying sex or you're enjoying pleasure. An erection isn't happening. Why don't you try teasing the cock with a vibrator, going over the perineum, the frenulum, go over all of these pleasure spots that you would go through with an erection as well. You know, do all of these things and see what kind of pleasure you can find because the nerve endings are there, you know, like, this is, again, like the mental reframe of having these thoughts and centering everything around erection really takes away the facts and the fact that you, again, have all those same nerve endings. Everything is there. Everything is working.
And that is something to keep in mind, right? Because sometimes people feel like in order to have quote unquote successful sexual experiences, we need to have very firm erection and it needs to go this long. But as you said, if we're thinking their ending is there, with it, first of all, there's so many medical interventions that's out there. If you want a firm erection, you'll be able to get it. But even some of those interventions, they reduce the sensitivity of your penis.
Yeah.
So if you're focusing on pleasure and fun, what you got might be enough. Just it requires that different perspective and better communication with your lover.
Absolutely. And it's something that you just need to repeat over and over because we're taught one specific message. We're taught specific messages about sex, about masculinity. And so you're not wrong for having any thoughts or feeling discouraged if the erection isn't happening. And it's just about completely reframing. You know, maybe it's waking up every morning and reminding yourself and having affirmations. You know, sometimes people laugh at affirmations like, oh, you're saying all these positive words. But actually, science proves that positive words of affirmations will rewire your brain and grow your gray matter, which is the part of your brain that processes emotions and creates self-confidence. And so having these mental reframes are so important and having some sort of mantra about it too. You know, you might think it's silly, but you could say like, I have a beautiful penis and all my nerve endings are still there. Pleasure is still available. Whatever you have to say so that you can believe it in your body on a cellular level. And that will help with all of these type of arousal issues because we think we connect arousal issues with erection when in fact you can still have an orgasm and all of your nerve endings are there. And like you said, some of these other remedies actually can take away more pleasure, you know? And so a holistic approach can be sometimes the most powerful.
Well, Nadezhda, I can talk to you about this for hours. I like you. I like the information that you have. You're knowledgeable. But we are toward the end of our time. And I bet there are a bunch of our listeners that they want to learn more about you, the content you put out there. So tell us, where can our listeners find you?
Absolutely. Well, my name is Nadezhda. I'm a sex scholar and the founder of a company called Pleasure Science. So you could find me at Pleasure Science on Instagram or TikTok. You could go to pleasurescience.com. And I have a special gift for all of you today. If you go to pleasurescience.com, there is a discount code Sexology Podcast. And that discount code gives you 20% off one of our best-selling ebooks, the I Love My Penis ebook, which actually teaches you some incredible pleasure skills that you can use with or without an erection. Because erectile dysfunction is just something so many of us have anxiety over. And so this ebook actually gives you some tips to help you have wonderful sex and orgasms with or without an erection.
I love it. Sounds like such an important and useful tool to have for everyone. Because for most people, there are going to be times that their penis are not going to follow their desire. And that's good to have those tools in the toolbox. Nadezhda, thank you so much for coming in the show. It was so lovely to chat with you and hopefully we'll have you in our future episode.
I'd love that. Thank you so much. And everyone, how wonderful is Dr. Nazanin's accent? I swear, I literally, every time I'm obsessed with just listening to you talk.
Aww, thank you. You made my day. Thank you.
As we wrap up today's episode, I want to shine a light on something important: toxic shame. As a sex therapist, I've seen how it can prevent men from seeking the help they deserve. But here's the truth. There is a galaxy of options out there, and your solution might be just one appointment away. Remember, it's okay to ask for help. Your journey to sexual wellness is valid, and there are professionals ready to support you every step of the way. Speaking of solutions, if you're interested in improving the quality of your erection or gathering information about your erectile thickness, make sure you check out our sponsor, FirmTech. They have so many great cock rings. And don't forget to use Sexology to get 10% off of your order. So don't hesitate. Take the first step toward a happier, healthier you. All right, that was the wrap for today. And I'll see you guys next week right here. Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.